In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Can't believe that Lent is over and Holy Week is starting this coming Sunday. So, Lent is over. Good news or bad news? Good news or bad news? Both? We're not going to see show of hands, but it is good news for some people and bad news for some people. Let's start with the good news. Good news is the people who already did what? One word. Repented. Very good. Because it's the purpose of Lent and campaign. Seeing God and reaching Him. You know the psalm that was read? It's beautiful. It said, "Hear me speedily, O Lord." خلاص الرب نخلص. Hear me speedily because Lent is over, almost over. My spirit fails. Do not turn your face from me. Finally, I got to see your face. Please don't turn your face away from me. I'm seeking your face. This is what I'm seeking. That's the good news. The good news if there is the repentance happened already. Change happened already. We were able to see His face already. If not, then we have to really hurry up. Or else, somehow every year, in the very first week of Pentecost, right after resurrection, after Easter, some people come to me, somehow, first week, I get a lot of people who say, "We missed Lent this year. We didn't get anything out of Lent this year. What do we do now?" Tell you the truth, I do my best to comfort them, but deep down in my heart, what do I say? We're done, Lent, Holy Week, campaign, everything is over. Yani, God have mercy on us all and just wait until God visits you somehow or do something with you. It's late. It's late in the game already. Someone is coming after the game and saying, "What's going on? What do you tell him?" There's nothing. So, we don't want anyone to face that. It's bad news. We want everyone to have good news. To really celebrate the resurrection with a new heart and a new life. You know, this Sunday of the born blind used to be used to be the Sunday of baptism, where they baptize people. Of course, a lot of people don't understand that, but a lot of people who are coming into the faith, the most important and the best time of the year is Lent. So they get discipled and they come to church and they attend everything during Lent. And then 1 week before the Holy Week, which is this Sunday, they get baptized. When do we celebrate their baptism? Anyone knows? The old tradition? Celebrated actually in Easter night. The procession is not just for the icon of the resurrection, but the procession is for all these new icons of Christ. These who were baptized, these who were born again, these who have the image of Christ, these who put on Christ and really changed it, and really changed it from the darkness to light. So that was the celebration. So Easter is great news for a lot of people. It's the procession of the converts. It's the everyone is celebrating the repentance, because after repentance comes joy and celebration. Tell you the truth, no one can feel the beauty of the resurrection until he passed through the valley of repentance and change and already able to see his face. I'm saying that because we only have 2 weeks. One of them, if we're done with one of them, then if we're not prepared for Holy Week, then we're not going to get anything out of it. So I really pray for every and each one of us to get prepared and get the most out of it, and not to say it's too late in the game already, but really to celebrate the resurrection. But Some people might hear that and say, I don't think so. That doesn't work with me. Basically, I have no hope. I tried before. You're telling me Lent? I've been trying all Lent. Bring me trying something? I tried for maybe many years, and there is no change. We call this hopeless. We have good news that Jesus is bringing today in the miracle that he did with the born blind. So look closely at this miracle. Now Jesus passed by. He saw a man who was blind from birth. This man didn't have eyes, and the eyes were not working, but this man did not have eyes at all. He had two empty spaces in his head. There was nothing inside. So basically, this man needed more than a miracle, because if he had eyes, maybe you can say one of the saints can intercede. Maybe you ask for prayers of some people and he would be healed. But there is no healing for such a person, because he doesn't have eyes. Healing for what? If he had eyes, maybe there is healing. No eyes, no hope. Cannot see anything. And that man represents some people who are not able to see God for whatever the reason. Cannot reach him. So far away from them. And have no hope in life. Do you think that this man born blind, when he puts his finger in that hole in his eyes, would he ever think one day in his life that he would see again? No way. This is a perfect example of the hopeless. Hopeless in darkness. There's no hope of light. So why don't you go search for the preacher of Nazareth? He's healing people. He's doing miracles. Healing people? I don't need healing. I don't need miracle. I need something beyond a miracle. He needed something beyond the miracle. Miracle was something too small for him. Wouldn't do anything for him. Thanks be to our good, gracious Lord that he passed by this man, and all of a sudden he spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. What is this? This is the Creator. Same thing that God did with Adam and Eve, clay. And to create vessels and blood and nerves from the clay. Who would do that? What kind of doctor? What kind of miracle can do that? It's only the touch of the Creator that can make this dust something great and can make life out of death. When you need life out of death, you don't need a miracle. You need something beyond the miracle. You need creation. And that's our hope today. That our God is not just a good God, it's not just a gracious God, but he is the Creator. He can do the impossible. That's why we call him the hope of the hopeless. Not only hope for physical healing, because after Jesus healed this man, he was after him in order to heal his soul too. He didn't only heal his body, but he was after him until he's able to see the Lord and believe. They say in the very last part, Jesus heard that they cast him out of the synagogue. And when he had found him, so Jesus was looking for him. He's not done. You think he made this man see and that's it? No, he's not done. When he had found him, meaning he was searching for him, he was looking for him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? I've never seen him. I was in darkness. I don't see anything. And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Why this man, God, out of all people in the world? There is a lot of sick people. There is a lot of people who are in need. But this man had no hope. Maybe the Samaritan, I can meet her halfway. She would come to the well and I would meet her there and I'll try to work out things with her. And maybe I would ask her some questions and she answers me and I would do something to her. Maybe the prodigal son, I would wait for him to come back and I would give him everything back and I would restore him as a son. Maybe the paralyzed man, I can go and see where he is and heal him. But this man, this is the only man that Jesus never even asked him a question. Do you want to be healed? What do you think if Jesus asked this man, do you want to be healed? What was the answer going to be? What was the answer? No. I'm not sick. I'm dead. I'm not sick. I'm dead. I have no life. Haven't seen the light in my life. This man didn't only see the light and didn't have eyes. But think about it. Someone born blind would have a lot of resentment for God. Why? What did I do wrong? Even the people, the disciples asked, like, this is terrible. Whose fault is this? I'm sure someone is mistaken. There's a problem here. What to do? This is one of the few people in the Bible had really no hope. Maybe his hope, if he gets closer to God, tell him, it's okay, pray a little bit, get closer to God, and you'll be okay. No, I can't. I didn't see him. He didn't create me with eyes in order to see the world and in order to see the nature and praise him. How do I do that? I can't. I have no hope in him or in anyone else. In this case, Jesus does the following. He come to this man who was not looking for Jesus, but he was looking for him. I'm coming to you. When he healed him, or when he created new eyes for him, they didn't ask him. Because Jesus knew the answer. No, I don't care. Because I have no hope. Not only that, but Jesus followed up with him and see what's going on. Not only with the eyes, but he really cared for him in a very special way, found him, and finally opened his spiritual eyes in order to see the Lord until he said, I believe, and he worshipped him. From resentment against God, from hopelessness, to someone who's praising God, who is seeing God face to face. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? In this campaign, we're saying, seeking his face. Who is the first one who's going to see the Lord? Someone like the born blind. One of the very few people that he saw is Christ himself, God in the flesh. From darkness, from nothing, to seeing Christ. Isn't that amazing? The first thing that he can see is the Lord himself. Unbelievable. What did this man do in order to see the Lord Jesus Christ? To be blessed like them. To have a brand new eyes created by the touch of the Master. In order to see the Lord face to face. And the Lord himself teach him the faith. And tells him, I am he. I'm teaching you, and worshipped him. What did he do? one thing this man did or was. What is it? What did he do? What did he do good in his life in order to get this blessing? What do you think? He did one thing. He was hopeless. Seriously. He did nothing. He was hopeless. And because he was hopeless, we say about our God that he is the hope of the hopeless. Because no one else could have helped him except the Creator himself. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that people do not come to the Lord Jesus, but he goes to people that have no hope, that there is no way they will be able to come to him. Heard about this village in the middle of nowhere, one of the Islamic countries, very isolated, don't know anything, very simple people. And one day or one night, every single one in the village had the same dream, exactly the same dream. And the dream is, I am Jesus, I am the Son of God, and I'm coming to save you. So one wake up from the dream, said to the other, I had a very strange dream. Said the other person said the same, and the neighbor said the same, and that's it, said the same. And the entire village was converted and was moved from darkness to light. What did they do? They were just in darkness, and there was no hope for anyone to reach to them except the hope of the hopeless and the help of those who have no helper. The light to the darkness. Christians who went astray from the faith, left Christ, left the faith, and all of a sudden Jesus himself goes to them, telling them, where are you? And bring them such an amazing way. You ask this person, what's bringing you? He said, it's him. Not only that, but I'll tell you another case of hopelessness in the Bible, and it will be very strange to hear that this person was hopeless. Actually, it's King David himself. Very, 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 very spiritual man. Someone loved God more than any of us, more than anyone in the world. He said, but me, I am a prayer. 7 times every day I praise you. And God said, I have searched the heart of David, my servant, and I found him like my heart. There is no level of spirituality that David did not get to. And he fell into the worst sins ever, adultery and murder. I know it's very hard to put yourself in his shoes, but try to put yourself in his shoes for 1 minute. What hope does this man have? For us, maybe we're hoping, maybe if I pray more, God will forgive me. Maybe I will pray more, this will never happen. Maybe I need to be just strong my spiritual life. Maybe I need to come back to church. Maybe I need to do something. But David did already all of this, did over and beyond. What else can he do? What else? There's nothing. One of the first people that have to be hopeless is David when he fell. What did he say? If he says, God, fix my heart, what can fix my heart? That's why he didn't fix my heart. He said, create in me a new heart. Throw this away. I need the touch of the Creator. I need the Creator to put something brand new in me. Fixing is not going to do anything. I don't need fixing. I don't need healing. I need creation. and you can do it. And you are hope of those who are hopeless. That made me think that the hopeless situations have more and better chances. Why? Because their hope is only in Him. I'm telling you, they have better chances because their hope is in Him. That's why when the disciples asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." That God may prove himself. God is in the business of changing the death, bringing the death to life, bringing the hopeless not into hope, but much, much, much more and much beyond. That's why we pray that in the litany of the sick. We tell him, "For you are the hope of those who are hopeless, the help of those who have no helper, the comfort of the faint-hearted, the harbor of those in the storm." And David says it too, "Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Happy is he, blessed is he. He's got better chances than those who have hope in people and in situations. The biggest question here is why? Why born blind? Why this hassle? Why have to be hopeless in order to get hope? Why? Why not just make things easy, simple? Born, okay, go to church, serve, become a good person. Why? Why darkness? Why? If you ask David, why did God allow you to fall into this and bring hopelessness into your life? I would tell you the answer, not David. Every time I pray Psalm 50, I commit a sin and I need repentance. I see that this great guy, this amazing man, the man of God, the holy man, committed adultery and murder. It gives me hope. David sinned and fell into hopelessness, not for himself, but for something else. Why these things happen? For a mission. For a mission, basically. God has a mission. Mission for the Samaritan woman. Mission for the born blind. When we go to heaven, you will meet the born blind. Ask him, if you go back to life, what would you choose? Would you do it all over again? Or you would wish to be born with eyes, normal person, go to school, go to church, become a good person? What would he answer? What do you think? What do you think? Someone that Jesus put his hands in him, created something, put it in him. Someone who got the faith from the Lord himself. Someone who was a preacher for all the hopeless after that. He would tell you, "I would do it over and over and over again." If you ask St. Paul, "Would you like to become a Jew again?" He would tell you, I don't mind seeing the darkness because it made me realize how good is the light. I would love to see that. And God wants all of us to have brand new eyes that can see Him. That we can have a mission for other people. Tell them that we saw the Lord. We've experienced Him. You know, the only difference between one Christian and another, between us and any of the great saints, is one thing. How do we see God? That's the only difference. If you ask Saint Mina or Saint George, if you look at their life and our life, a lot similar, do the same thing. The only one difference, the way we see God. How is He to us? What kind of eyes do we see Him? Ask non-Christians and see the difference. How do you see God? He's strong. He's in control of everything. He is beyond holy, and He's so far away from us. That's their understanding. But who can see that He is the Creator? The one we're coming to worship today is not a good, is not a good God, is not a far God, but He's so near, He's so close. And He is the Creator. We're coming to the Creator. That there is no problem, nothing whatsoever is too big for Him. It's the way we see Him that shapes our life and shapes our spirituality. Some people, their problems are very, 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 very big, and God is that little. You remember, our goal this year is to focus more and more so God become big and bigger in our eyes. And that's how our problems become really small, that we focus more and more on Him. What is the purpose of the campaign Seeking His Face? Just to focus on Him, is to see Him clearly, to take away any obstacles that hinders our vision for Him. So the Pharisees came and said, we are okay, we know God, we understand Him, we don't need anything else. But this little hopeless man, Jesus visited him and did wonderful thing in his life. Why don't we approach Him in this next 2 weeks as we approach the Creator? Not only the Master, not only the lover of our soul, not only the good, kind God, but the Creator. And tell Him, the way I always pictured you, the way I always visioned you, is completely messed up. I want to change that. I want to see you everything. I want to see you the most important thing in my life. But these eyes are corrupt, corrupted with so many things. Why don't you change it? Why don't you touch it? Why don't you do something with it? I tried. I did everything I possibly could do. But my hope is in you, that you do something with it. So let's approach Him as blind in order to be healed and in order to be cured. Not as people who see, and the Lord tells them, you're judged because your vision is completely messed up. We approach Him full, our hearts are full of hope. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.